But I want to talk about this morning. You know, I kind of, on Saturdays, I start just all day long. I'm just kind of in the state of God, what do I minister? Now, sometimes I'm on a series, and I pretty well know unless the Lord directs me otherwise. And, you know, I'll preach messages a lot of times, and those messages don't go as far as I could go in each one of them, but at least gives us a road, a pathway to get on and jump on and start looking. And, as I was, just kind of doing all the things I need to do, having that beautiful day yesterday, cleaning fence rolls out and cutting trees and doing all such as that, I'm all the while seeking God. Isn't it crazy you can do that? Still be seeking God in your work and, doing busy. And I know your mind will be going here, but it's going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Your thoughts are on God, or at least it should be. And he brought this scripture up to me, and this is the scripture that kept just over and over all day yesterday, this scripture. And I knew God wanted me to touch on this point this morning. And it's in Mark 11:22, this one scripture. Normally we read the 22, 23, and 24. This morning, I just want to talk about this one scripture and kind of go my message from this. And the title of my message is, Who Do You Trust? Who Do You Trust? And Mark 11:22 says this, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith. Everybody say it with me. Have faith in God. They was asking him question, what happened to the fig tree when it was withered from the roots and it died when Jesus spoke to it. And Jesus, his first answer to them was, have faith in God. Have faith in God. The Amplified says constantly. Have faith in God constantly. So I really started just taking that verse right there and looking at it and pondering it. And especially when I went into my office last night at the house and sit down and just took Mark 11:22 and read it, and it's because it's been going through my spirit and my mind all day long. So I just thought, well, I'm gonna pull that word have and just find out what that word have actually means in that scripture and stuff like that. And that word have means this. It's the Greek word echo. And it's a primary verb to hold. It's to hold. That word have means to hold. It means to possess or keep. It means to possess or keep. So Jesus said, I want you to hold faith in God. Or I'll put it like this, hold on to your faith in God. Hold on to your faith in God. You need to hold on or possess your faith, be possessed with your faith for God, if that would make any sense to you. And so when he said, have faith in God, it wasn't just, just nonchalantly. He said, you got to grab hold of that faith in God. You've got to trust God. Because faith also means to trust, to have confidence in our assurance. And so he said, you've got to have faith in God. No matter what's going on in your life, you've got to maintain and lay hold and not let go. There's so many things trying to pry us away from our faith in God. Have y'all ever noticed that? Just trying to pry our faith from God and trying to get us to look at everything else other than God. So, well, God don't understand. God, listen, I've talked about that so many times. Well, God, do you understand? Do you know what I'm going through? He knows every little thing you're going through. He knows what you're dealing with in your life. He knows what you're dealing with in your finances. He knows what you're dealing with your families. He knows what you're dealing with on your job. He knows everything about you. Isn't that good news? And so the Noah Webster 1828 dictionary says the word have is to possess, to hold in possession or power. To hold in possession or power. We've got to hang on to our faith in God every single day. That scripture ought to ring in our ears every day. Have faith in God. Well, I'm dealing with this situation. Have faith in God. I'm believing God for my finances. Have faith in God. I'm believing God for my healing. Have faith in God. I'm believing God for my loved ones. Have faith in God. You've got to put it all in the hands of God. You got to have faith in God. And, you know, as I was just on that particular word or that particular verse, I was thinking, and, and, uh, I, I realize the Word of God and what Jesus is doing, the Word of God teaches us, are trying to get over to us that we can trust God. That we can trust God for whatever we might have need of, that we can trust Him. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll start looking everywhere else, and God's the last resort to what we're looking for. And He ought to be our first choice. Can I say it again? He ought to be our first choice. There's some passages of Scripture in Jeremiah. We're going to run over there real quick. Jeremiah chapter 17. And we're going to start with verse 5. And it says, thus says the Lord. So who we assume is talking? Anytime it says, thus says the Lord, we're pretty sure it was the Lord speaking, or he got this revelation from God. He says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. Here's what he's trying to tell the Israeli people. He says, listen, you have departed from trusting me to trusting man. You're putting your faith in man. You're believing them to supply everything you have. You're believing them to take care of you. You're believing them to lead and guide and direct you. He said, listen, that's not going to do nothing but hurt your life. Now, we need each other. Don't get me wrong. We need each other. And we need men. And it's not telling us not to trust man. Are you hearing me? It's not telling us not to trust. There's people we have to trust. And we need to trust. But when we depart from God and put all our trust in man, we're in trouble. In fact, he says in the next verse, he said, blessed is the man, empowered to prosper, is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord's. Listen, we've got to have hope in God. Man, I preached a series on hope that I thought was tremendous. And I'm telling you, so many people don't have no hope. They've done cast their hope aside. They don't have hope. Or if they do have hope, they don't have the right hope. Hope in the world is wishful thinking. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. We'll hope for the... here's what I've heard so many people say. You need to hope for... expect the worst. Hope for the, what is it? Hope for the best, they expect the worst, or is it expect the worst but hope for the best? Anyway, one of those ways they say it, which is kind of crazy, because it kind of puts you to always looking for the worst first and then hope things will get better. And that is not what God wants. God wants your life to be a blessed life. And He said you're to keep your hope alive in God, build your hopes up. That means great expectation. I fully expect. You need to be to the place where I fully expect God to do exactly what He said He would do. And I fully expect God to be exactly who He says He is to my life. And you have to do that on a daily basis. Every single day, He has to be the hope of your life. The expectation of your life. He said, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, who puts his confidence in God, his assurance in God. He's persuaded by the things of God. It says, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. It will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So he says this, he said, here's what a man who trusts God is like. This is what he's saying, here's what he's like. He is like a tree that's planted by the rivers or the waters, when his roots goes down into the water and goes down into the river and goes down and is constantly, no matter what the environment's like, no matter what the elements are like around it, whether it's hot, no matter what it is, he said, because that tree is down into the system, into the water, and it's got plenty nourishment, plenty water, it's still going to be producing fruit no matter what the elements around it's doing or saying. And I'm telling him, he said, that's what a man who trusts God's like. No matter what goes on around them, no matter what the world throws at them, no matter what the devil throws at them, no matter what people throw at them, they're still going to be bearing fruit, and they're not going to give up, and they're not going to quit, and they're not going to throw in the towel. Why? Because they're trusting in God. Amen? And so he said that that's not going to work that way if we have our trust in man. It says this in verse 7 in the New Living Translation. It says, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with the roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit." Pray. That's what he says a man who trusts God's like. He said, it don't matter if it's a drought, what it's like. He said, you're still going to be producing fruit. Now, listen to me. We know what the fruit of in our life, love, joy, peace, and all those such as things as that. But even in the midst of all what we're doing in the world, living in the world, he said, you're still going to have be having your needs provided. God's still going to be taking care of you. God's still going to cause you to walk in health if you'll trust and believe in him. Listen, all those things are a part of a man who'll trust God and say, my confidence and my trust is in God. I don't think we have the NIV, do we? Do we have the NIV? Punch it up there on verse 7. It says, "But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." Next. "He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." It has no worries in a year of drought. I'm telling you, we need to get rid of some worries. Right? Can trust in God help us do that? Amen. If we trust God, all we can say is all is well. Isn't that what a woman said when her son was dead and said, "Saddle my donkey, I'm going to the man of God." And I'm going, and when she got close to the man of God, he said, "How's it going with you?" She said, "All is well." All is well. Her son had died, but all is well. She knew God was about to turn this situation around. And I'm telling you, if you'll get to the place in your life where God's going to turn this situation around, listen, it don't just happen without our participation. We have to participate with the Word of God. We have to hook up with the Word of God. We have to believe God. We've got to trust in God. Amen. And we say that He's our Lord. He's our Savior. And we'll say sometimes He's my healer. He's my deliverer. We'll say He's my provider. He takes care of this. He's the Savior of my family. We say all those things and such as that. And then we turn right around and fall off into deep worry. And so I just don't know what we're going to do. Don't know how we're going to make it. Don't know if we're going to be able to pay our bills next week. Don't know if my kids, if they're saved, don't know what they're doing out there. Listen, you've got to trust God. Everybody, what was the first scripture? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. If we're not careful, we'll start looking to people to answer what we need instead of God. Well, you know, have you ever been, you don't have to raise your hand or point to nobody. But have you ever needed something and you start thinking of all the people you could go to? Well, let's see. So I could go talk to somebody, so-and-so or something like that. And then when it comes right down to it, the last part, well, I guess we're going to have to pray. Has it come to that? Got to that place where we're going to have to pray. Listen, that ought to be our first source, right? Because he said, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord." Now listen, I can almost guarantee there's not one person in this church today that does not have a need of some sort, some kind in their life. And God has the answer for it. He has the provision for it. But we're going to have to get to the place where I'm going to trust God. And if Sam Carr got me all on this, I heard him preach a message on God's working. And I say that all the time, God's working. No matter what I'm dealing with, no matter what, I say God's working. And if I talk to somebody, I'll talk to them. I'll always say, well, God's working. God's working. Why? Because he's working. Is he not working? I said, he's working, isn't he? I had a friend of mine that called me the other day. And I called him back and got a hold of him. And I think he's at 67, 68, something like that. And he called and told me, he said, you know, I was diagnosed. I went to the doctor. I was having eye problems and I went to the doctor and they sent me to a, what's a cancer doctor?
Oncologist.
And so they sent me to there somewhere in Houston, and he said I went and they checked my blood and all, and they said I have leukemia. Now this, he's 60 something years old. Everybody in this church knows who he is. And, the thing about it is I talked to him, and, you know, I've been out of touch with him for a while. He was a part of this church for a while, and he moved all, up, down south. And so the thing about it is when he was talking to me, I said, well, and I called him by name, and I told him, I said, you know, I said, the Word of God says this. And I just started reading the scriptures to him and quoting what I knew about healing, and told him, I said, you know, I know they said this, and then he's got to go to a bone marrow, do a bone marrow test next week, I think, or this week. And I said, you know, I said, you've got to make a decision that your report is greater than their report. You've got to make a decision that by Jesus' stripes you're healed. Either you are or you're not. You've got to make a decision that God's for you and He's not against you. And you've got to stick with that. You've got to stay with it. And I always told him, and just know God's working. Just know God's working. If you put your trust in Him, He's working. Because there's people getting negative reports every day. But you got to understand, God is not against you. He's for you. And you have to trust Him no matter what comes your way. You've got to trust Him. You say, well, that's easy for you to say. Listen, I've had to trust Him in a lot of things that it looked impossible for them to work in the natural, but God supernaturally came through. Supernaturally came through. And so I just prayed with Him when I got through and prayed for Him and all such as that, and told Him to come back and visit us. Look over, if you will, to Proverbs. Proverbs 3. I have no idea what I just did to my iPad. Okay, now I'm not a. I still have things pop up and cause me to get lost. I'm going to read this in the Amplified Bible. We're going to start with verse 1. We're talking about have faith in God. Faith meaning trust also. He says this in Amplified, verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, my son, forget not my law or my teachings, but let your heart keep my commands. We could say the word. For length of days and years of life worth living, and tranquility, inward and outward, and continuing through old age till death, these shall they add to you. Let not mercy and kindness, shutting out all hatred and selfishness and truth, shutting out all deliberate hypocrisy or falsehood, forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding and high esteem in the sight or judgment of God and man. Verse 5 says, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight and understanding. That's a very powerful scripture if we'll just get a hold of it. Because he said, lean not on, or trust in, or be confident in the Lord with all your heart. It says, lean on, trust, and be confident all your heart and mind. How many knows the devil wants to pull your mind away from trusting God? You know, you can say, I trust God with all my heart, but you're dealing with your head. Anybody there? I mean, even the man that brought his son to Jesus to get him healed. And, Jesus said, do you believe that I can do this? He said, yes, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Well, I believe what he was talking about, help what's going through my mind. Help what I'm thinking in my mind. And he said, you got to get to the place where you're leaning not on your own understanding. In other words, you don't take your advice over God's. Sometimes we'll tell ourselves, well, my ideal is better than God's, but yet at the same time, God's ideal is not the way we would normally do it, but if God told you to do something, then if you would do it, then God will bring about the answer to it. So he said, you're going to have to put your trust with all your heart and mind. You're going to have to pull some things down that's coming through your mind telling you, well, God can't do this for you. I know he does it for everybody else, but he won't do it for you. You've got to get to the place, well, God will do it for me. God's no respecter of persons. God's not trying to keep anything from me. He's trying to get stuff to me. I'm just going to have to trust him and believe him for it. And so to lean on is, you've got to just realize a lean is something that props you up or holds you up. And actually the word lean is to support oneself, to rely, rest on, or stay. And he said, don't lean on your understanding, but lean on God. Let God support you and hold you up and strengthen you and prop you up and be your foundation. And so in life, every one of us has to deal with these things like that when you say, well, I don't know where else to turn. Well, if you turned everywhere and you haven't turned to God yet, well, that's where you need to turn. Everybody shout, I got to turn to God. You have to trust him because he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could even ask or think according to the power of God that's working on the inside of you. It goes on to say, in all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him. And he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In other words, no matter what's going on, God ought to be your first choice to you go to and ask God and say, God, what must I do? Listen, God has an answer for every need that you have. God has a provision for every need that you have. What you have to do is say, God, I need to know what to do. Sometimes we go to God when we need to know that minute or that second or that day. And I tell you what, we need to be going to God on a daily basis. Why? Because we need to be in tune with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because let me say this, if you're not in tune with the Holy Ghost and you don't have an ear to hear what the Holy Ghost is saying, you're gonna think he's telling you something and it's not, even when he tells you something, you're gonna think it's not him. Cause how many realize when God speaks to you about something, most of the time it don't make no sense to you at all? Anybody ever notice that? How would God want me to do that? Why would God want me to do that? Well, he told a lot of people when he was, when they were seeking healing to do certain things that we probably wouldn't told them to do. Put mud in a man's eye and then go wash in the pool of Siloam and then you'll come back seeing. Well, you know, why couldn't he just healed him right there? Well, I don't know. We'll have to ask Jesus when we get there, which we'll never think about it. But the thing about it is sometimes we say, now God, if I was you, I would do it like this. You ever done that? God, you missed a perfect opportunity to bless me and help me right here. Huh? Well, listen to me. God's working. Say it with me. God's working. He said, you're just going to have to acknowledge him in every way. God will tell you to do things or speak to your heart to do things that don't make any sense to you. In fact, it'll seem like you are incapable of doing it. Boy, we're getting quiet in this Holy Ghost church this morning. Huh? I think sometimes it's just how bad do we want it? Just how bad do we want it? We tell God we want it sometimes, but do we really want it? Do we really want to do what God tells us to do in order to get it? Now listen, God's not going to tell us to do things beyond our means. I remember Jesse Duplantis talking about going to a camp meeting in Oklahoma, Kenneth E. Hagin's camp meetings, and went there and he was walking through the walking through there and God spoke to him to put a certain amount of money in the offering. And he said, God, that's all I got. And God said, that's all I ask. Sometimes we think, well, God, why would you ask me to do something when it seems like that's as far as I can go? Why? Because that's when he can get more to you. Huh? God wants to multiply and supply every need that you have. And sometimes we're wanting God to supply our need, but we're not willing to do what God said. And not just in giving, in anything. God's got an answer. We got to trust him. We got to have faith in God. Amen? Praise God. I listen to these preachers on TV sometimes, and I hear them just speaking. Now, I'm not in their service, but bless God, I'm in their spirit. Or I'm in the spirit of the thing. You said, what if it's recorded? Listen to me. It don't matter if it's recorded. The word's the word, and the word travels swiftly. God sends his word to heal. And I'm telling you, sometimes you just sit and watch somebody preaching. They say, I believe somebody right there is getting healed, or right out there. You're to reach in there and say, that's mine right now. God's working. God's working. God's working. I was yesterday when God was speaking to me on that one scripture, have faith in God. And I actually went to bed a little before Linda last night and turned on BVOVN and preaching on there. Jesse Duplantis came on. You know what his scripture was talking about? Have faith in God. And he kept saying, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Trust in God. And I thought, well, God, I know you're telling me something. So I actually stayed awake and listened to what he had to preach. But the thing about it is, God wants us to know that he's here. He's with you. He's for you. He wants to help you. He don't want you struggling in life. God does not want his children struggling. Do you want your kids struggling? You do everything in your power to help your children to make sure they're not struggling. Well, how much more would God do that for you? And he said, be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord, and turn entirely away from evil. It should be health to your nerves and sinews, and marrow and moistening to your bones. Honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from righteous labors, and with the first fruits of all your income. So shall your storage places be filled with plenty, and your vats shall be overflowing with new wine. So he said, listen, there's some things we have to do in order to activate what God wants us to have in our lives. So we just got to be willing to say, God, here I am. Show me what to do, and we'll do it. And I was thinking about it. Sometimes we're seeking provision when we're to be seeking the provider. We seek healing when we're to be seeking the healer, because all those things fall in, et cetera. There's a lot of things. Let's go to let me see if which one I want to go. Let's just go to Matthew. I have another scripture in there, but I'm running out of time. In Matthew, have faith in God constantly. 6:25. Have faith in God. How often? Constantly, always. So we can have faith in God. Makes me feel better to know God's on my side. Makes me feel better to know I'm on his side. This is some great scriptures. Matthew 6:25. We all know it. We all know this. Heard it thousands of times. Jesus said in verse 25, therefore, I say to you, do not worry. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry. Let's read this in the New Living Translation. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink, or even are enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? We all know this. One of the most essential things that we concern ourselves about and everything is our everyday needs, our food, our clothing, our bills being paid and all such as that. And Jesus said, listen, I tell you, don't worry about everyday life. He said, don't worry about what you're going to drink, eat. Don't worry about your food. Don't worry about all those things. Now, listen, he didn't tell us not to have no concern. We don't have concern. But the thing about it is, he said, you don't have to worry about it. I mean, there's a lot of worry. Has anybody ever seen a worry wart? They just worry about everything. They can get all their needs met today and start worrying tomorrow about next month. I mean, it's just a part of it. And it's a miserable way to live. To worry about everything. I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know what we're going to do. Well, listen, trust God. Have faith in God. Nudge your partner and say, have faith in God. He says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? I mean, I ain't seen no birds out there worrying about what they're going to eat. Not at my place anyway, because they go eat my cow feed I put out. So they don't have no problem with that. And so he said, you're more valuable than they are. So God's going to take care of you. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, will he not certainly care for you? Why do you have so little faith? So verse 31 says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, what will we wear? Don't worry about these. The King James Version says, take no thought saying. Take no thought saying, what are we going to do? 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 I remember when I went to San Marcos last month and ministered in San Marcos, and it was all ministers there. And when I had guys called up, I had one guy come up, and they were all preachers come up. And when I got to him, I said, you just keep saying, what am I going to do? 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 And then I gave him a word, whatever the Lord said. Afterwards, he said, how would you know that that's what I've been saying to God? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I said, I didn't, but God does. See, the thing about it is, I don't know how many sit and say, what are we going to do? And that's your, listen, that is not a confession of faith. What are we going to do? The confession of faith says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to trust God and we're going to have faith in God. We're going to believe God to bring in the finances to pay our bills. We're going to believe God to save our children and bring them back if they're backslidden and lost. We're going to believe God to do what His Word said He would do, and we're not going to worry about it. We're going to cast down any imagination that tries to come and tell us it's not going to happen. Well, you know, because the devil always come to you and say, well, this ain't going to happen. Who do you think you are trying to believe God for that? Well, I'm a child of God, first of all. I belong to Jesus. I heir of God and joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm connected with God. I have a covenant with God. I have a right to the Word of God. And so I've got to decide, am I going to trust these stupid thoughts that come to my mind, or am I going to trust my heart that's believing God, that says God is who He said He was, He's going to do what He said He would do, He is who He is, and bless God, I am not going to worry. Sometimes you might have to tell yourself you ain't going to worry 50 times a day. Don't worry. Now it's better for you to tell yourself, because if somebody else tells you, it sometimes ticks you off. I know you grin a little bit, but I'm telling you right now. Sometimes when you try to help somebody out, it says, well, don't try to help me out there, because I'm just kind of locked into this right now. Listen to me. We need to realize that anybody tries to help you, you need to take all the help you can get. Amen. Come on. Amen. Huh? And so he said, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Listen, we've been all through that. Me and Linda's been through those tough times in our lives where we didn't struggle to put groceries on the table, struggle to put gas in our vehicles, struggle to even put tires on the car, whatever we wanted. We struggled. We had a hard time. And we struggled. And I tell you what, I battled with my mind. I battled being the provider of my home and working. I always had a job. I've worked ever since we've been married. And I don't think I've ever been without a job except right before we got married, and I'd quit because I was so in love with her. I quit offshore and come back home just so I could talk to her and be with her a little bit. and I took a job $2 and something an hour, I think, at home. And of course, $2 and something an hour, I'd make pretty good money back in 76. And so the thing about it is, I battled with the financial realm of our lives so much. And, you know, cause it always bothered me when I could, you know, you couldn't hear kind of like you go put $5 in your car. Back then, $5 put more gas in your car as it does then, by the way. And it was just very limited. And it was almost like there was a spirit upon our lives of lack and poverty and they're trying to always hold us back where we could never, we couldn't go out to eat and do stuff like that. We couldn't go to work, go home, just do that. It was kind of like we was in a rut and we were stuck. And, you know, and of course, then we found out about tithing and offering and started doing that, and it seemed like things got worse. Well, my God, you know, sometimes we think if I start tithing, as soon as that first day I tithe, I'm going to have $1 million in the check in the bank the next morning. And, you know, that's not usually the way it works. I'd be blessing if it did. I wish it would work that way. But it didn't work that way. We still struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled. But we kept giving and tithing and tithing and tithing and tithing and tithing. But here was the issue with me. My issue was this. When I got saved, I started reading the Word of God and I wanted the Word of God, but I was really intrigued with healing. And so I really dove into healing to find out about I'm healed. I mean, I all of a sudden I have faith for healing, man, for my body to be healed and all such as that. And Linda told me one day, she said, if you would have as much faith for our finances as you do for your healing, we wouldn't have any more problems. And that stirred something on the inside of me. All of a sudden, now I want to go start finding out and diving into about the finances that God will take care of you. And I'm telling you something, we just had to dive in and quote it and declare that God will supply every need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God's going to take care of us. We don't have to worry. I fought worry. Oh, my God in heaven. Somebody don't shout me down. Man, I dealt with worrying. I mean, how are we going to do this? By the time the end of the week was already broke. I was already broke, and I'd go offshore, and I'd be gone for 7 days and leave her with hardly no money at all while I'm gone because we didn't have any, and I'd be gone for 7 days, come back for 7 days, and I'm telling you, it just took everything that we had to live. And I'm telling you, God, can I just say that? That wasn't God's will for our lives. It's not God's will to live from check to check, from to struggling. That's not God's will. God wants us to have an abundance for every good work. And I'm telling you what, when God started turning, when the things started turning, here's what we found out. If we will stay if we will stay faithful to God, if we will stay with God and say, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to stick with it. If we'll stay, God, all of a sudden things starts turning. Things starts turning. I mean, we go back years, and y'all probably could too. You say, how did we make it this year financially? Well, you look at how much you made and how much you went out, and it didn't match up. And God was working. God was working. God was working. I mean, people would start coming up to us sometimes and say, I want to put 4 new tires on your car. And I'd tell them, like everybody else, you don't have to do that. Members of our church, and they'd say, well, and I didn't tell nobody my tires needed changing, but when you walked out and saw those May Pops on there, you know what May Pops are? They may pop any time. Or them slick tires. Never told them that. Never told people, never said a word to anybody that we were struggling in any way. I didn't tell the board at the church. And this was even after I was pastoring, we struggled and stuff like that. I didn't tell the board. I didn't tell nobody. Me and my wife, we talked to God about it, and God talked to other people about it, and all of a sudden, things just started changing. I mean, all the things. And listen to me. God just blesses and supplies our every need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But I had to learn to trust God. I had to put it in His hands and say, God, I'm going to cast this care over on You, for You care for me. And I'm telling you, it didn't do me any good to worry about it. And I wouldn't let no spirit of worry come on me in Jesus' name. And we basically got together and said, we're going to break a spirit of poverty and lack off our lives. We're going to break that off of us. We are not going to have it. We're not going to have it. And we come against it. We stood against it. There's a spirit of poverty. I just want y'all to know right now. There's a spirit of lack. Listen to me. That spirit will try to bombard your life. It don't matter how much money you make. It's like your money will go through your pockets, go through your hands. Because if that spirit tries to hold on to you, it might have been in your past, something like that. You're going to stand up and say, I break the power of the spirit of poverty and lack over my life in the name of Jesus. I will not allow you to run through my home and be a part of my life, my kids, or any other part of this family in Jesus' name. We break the power of that right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody needs to hear this in the name of Jesus. Because I tell you what, you can make tons of money, and I guarantee you one thing, if you haven't broke that thing off of you, it will just rape your money from you, just pull it from you. I'm telling you. Okay. We just break it right now in Jesus' name. We bind the spirit of poverty and lack off people's lives. And I say it's broken today. We plead the blood of Jesus over their finances and their well-being. And God, You're pouring Your spirit out upon them now in the name of Jesus. He says, if God so cares so wonderfully about the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, will he certainly not care for you? Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. So he said, listen to me. You don't have to worry about nothing. Just seek God. Seek the provider, and he'll provide your every need. God will take care of you. Don't worry. I tell you, as born-again believers, we ought not be worrying. We ought to just say, I'm not going to worry. If that worrisome thoughts come up, don't take it. I said, if a worrisome thought comes up, let me say it, don't take it. How do you take a thought? And we know it here at Word of Life, don't we? How do we take a thought? By saying it. That's how you take a thought. That's why King James says, take no thought saying. Take no thought saying. When you start giving voice to those crazy thoughts that come to you, you're all actually also giving life to them. That's what you're doing, giving life to them. You're giving support to them. And so what you have to do is cast them down. You say, well, Pastor, what don't we have to say what we think? Not so. Well, you know, I feel like I'll just say what I'm thinking. You don't have to say everything you think. You can cast some of those things down and say, I'm not even gonna share that with nobody. You know why you ought not share it with somebody? Can I say this in my closing statement? Because you don't want them in agreement with you. Because where two agree is touching anything they ask, it shall be what? Done. So you got to be careful at what you let come out of your mouth. Well, we just can't make it this week. We're not going to make it this month. I don't know if we're going to pay our pay or whatever. Or I don't know if I'll ever see healing in my body. I don't know if it's ever going to work. Now, you got to get rid of all those negative things that try to come out of your mouth. Because that's what the devil wants to do. He wants it to come out of your mouth. Huh? The devil is not a creator. I'm a quit just a second. The thing with God is kind of like a chess, playing checkers or chess or something like that. The devil will throw a thought to you. Anybody ever have some terrible, stupid, crazy thoughts? Anybody? I mean, just crazy. You think, where the heck did that come from? And he'll shoot that thought to your mind. Now, he's waiting on something. See, he can't make his next move till you move. He's waiting on your move. What's your move? What you going to do with that thought? What are you going to do with what I'm trying to get you to do? What are you going to do with what I'm trying to get you to say? And you can say, I cast that thought down in the name of Jesus. I will not speak it out of my mouth. I say it would be null and ineffective in my life in the name of Jesus. I cast it down, and you give no voice to it. And you give no voice to it. Well, what's he going to do now? He'll send another thought. You do the same thing. See, he's waiting for your response because your action gives him his reaction. And so you have to be careful at what you let come out of your mouth and what you say, because the devil and God operates on the same principles on what you say. You can have what you say. And so don't let those things come out of your mouth. You can agree with somebody, say, I want you to agree with me concerning my finances, my children, my job, or what, or something like that, and pray over stuff as that. But listen to me, don't get caught up in getting into the negatives and speaking out your worries and such. Just cast them down in the name of Jesus and know this, God is working. Say it with me. God is working on my behalf in Jesus' name. You got to have things coming out of your mouth. It just has to be the right things. Amen. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for giving us your word. We thank you for Mark 11:22, where you says, have faith in God. To hold our faith in God, to hold to it and not to let go. God, I thank you for a faith-filled group of people in this church this morning. We're full of faith, full of wisdom, full of knowledge. God, seeking you and letting your word become real to us, get into our hearts and get into our minds. God, we're not going to trust in man. We're going to trust in God. And God, we're going to be like those trees planted by the waters. God, we're still going to bear fruit, even though the elements around us may be not conducive to it. But God, we are going to trust you in our for our lives, for our children, for our finances, for our health, for our jobs, or whatever else we may be dealing with in life. We are going to trust you because you are for us and you're not against us. You said we're more than conquerors in everything, and you said you'd supply every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and we completely believe and trust you for it. We love you this morning, and we thank you for the privilege of getting to sit together and come together with brothers and sisters in the Lord. We love you for it.